May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. In the calendar of the church, there are seven principal feast days that we observe each year: Easter Sunday, the Ascension, Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, All Saints Day, Christmas Day, and the one coming up tomorrow, Epiphany. Now, depending on the year, the first four appear on varying dates, but without fail, the last three are fixed on the calendar: November 1st, December 25th, January 6th. In a very brief section near the beginning of the Book of Common Prayer, guidance is given on transferring or moving certain feasts that fall on weekdays to Sunday observances. Epiphany is one such instance, and when an observance can be moved to the closest Sunday, and there are many churches that take advantage of that option. If you happen to look at the lectionary insert in your bulletin this morning, you likely notice that there are three different gospel readings listed: two from Matthew and one from Luke. These choices are offered, thankfully, to give clergy flexibility on what is used depending on what choice they make with regard to the observance of Epiphany. Now, while a number of churches have made the choice to transfer the feast day to this morning, other churches have not, and I myself have not, for one simple reason. By skipping ahead, even by a single day, we miss crucial parts of the story of Jesus. It's like reading a novel. You may be on page 100 and are so anxious to learn how the story ends, you jump to page 300, but by doing so, you miss everything that happens in between. Now, admittedly, it's a bit more convoluted when you look closely at the order of the readings for today and tomorrow. The reading from Matthew that we just heard, for example, occurs after the reading assigned for the Epiphany, which isn't for another day. But if we skip this morning's reading, I feel we deprive ourselves of an important scene that doesn't come up again in the church year. Now, rest assured, we do know that the Magi will arrive, and we can certainly anticipate that event. We even just sang a hymn, We Three Kings, that's still suitable for today, even as it looks ahead to a moment that hasn't yet taken place, at least on the liturgical calendar. But during this time this morning, I want to reflect further on a theme which I preached on the fourth Sunday of Advent, the idea that God speaks to us in our dreams. For those who were here a few weeks ago, you may recall that Joseph had learned Mary was pregnant, and in an attempt to preserve her reputation in light of something that in that day would have caused scandal and humiliation for her, he planned to, in the words of the gospel writer, dismiss her quietly. In the midst of the stress and pressure he was feeling to make the matter go away quietly, in the depths of the despair he had to be feeling at that time, a messenger visited Joseph in a dream and essentially told him, "Joseph, don't panic. It's okay to take Mary as your wife, because the son to whom she will give birth will do great things, greater than you could possibly imagine." And without questioning any of it, Joseph did as he had been instructed. Now, in today's reading, in advance of another stressful event that's looming unseen on the path ahead of him, Joseph receives a second divine visitation as he sleeps. "Joseph, your family is in danger. Herod is out for blood. Get up and go to Egypt, where all of you will be safe." Now, this time, there's no greeting of peace from the angel. There are no calming words of "fear not" that are offered. Instead, this time, it's an imperative: get up and go. Once again, Joseph does as he is asked. He simply gets up and flees with his wife and infant son to Egypt. And after a time in exile, still a third heavenly visit. Another messenger appearing on the dreamscape of Joseph's unconscious mind, and another imperative, get up and go. And for a third time, and later still for a fourth time, Joseph, without question, does. This time taking his young family back first to Israel, and then more specifically to their home in Nazareth. In the scriptures, dreams herald change, or they reveal upcoming action. We've already looked at the dreams of Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew. The dreams of Jacob in Genesis were prelude to his return home. The Joseph of the Old Testament had dreams that were the sign that he would be the greatest among his brothers, and his skill at interpreting dreams guaranteed his success in Egypt. Daniel dreamed of the defeat of earthly empires by a heavenly power. And even Pilate's wife had a nightmare that prompted her to warn her husband about the consequences of the judgment that he was about to hand down to Jesus. Life for every one of these individuals started out by moving in one direction, and then they dreamed, and things were never again the same. We are here at the start of a new year, the 282nd in the history of this parish. Things that were one way in 1738 had changed a lot by 1838, and life here in 2000 was far different than it was in 1900. Changes came because people hoped and wished and dreamed. The women and men who came to this place before us were inspired to do more, either as they were awake or perhaps even as they slept and they dreamed. Now, there's no denying that change can be difficult and frightening. I don't doubt that our predecessors at this church, as they dreamed about the future of the parish, experienced fear and uncertainty. But as they learned, and as we continue to learn today, change can also be rewarding and fruitful. So what are your dreams for our future? In this new year, what is God saying to you in your waking and in your sleeping? Where do you dream that we go? These are important questions to answer, and they will be important conversations to have in the coming weeks and months. But remember that listening to the voices of those who may visit us in our dreams is important. Looking at where we are now and wondering what we can do to build up, to grow, and to shape the future of Christ Church is important. So pay attention to your dreams. Listen to your dreams. Respond to your dreams. And let your dreams be the heralds of the change that lies ahead on our journey. Amen.